you want it. Throw me down when you're through. 'Cause I've learned more from what's missing. It's about me and not about you. I know I made some bad decisions, but my last one was you. Thanks to you I know lies, lies, lies. How it feels when love dies, dies, dies. And you taught me goodbye, bye, bye. How to know when it's over, when it's over. You don't know love till it tears up your heart and cuts it in. Leaves you with scars you're still feeling. You don't know love, you don't know love.
You say I can't do better, better than someone like you. What I feel can't write in a letter, so I wrote this for you.
Thanks to you I know lies, lies, lies. How it feels when love dies, dies, dies. And you taught me goodbye, bye, bye. How to know when it's over, when it's over. You don't
that's Olly Murs and You Don't Know the Love. We're opening up the breakfast show this morning on Walk In My Shoes Radio. I am Trevor Keegan, in with you until 9 o'clock. And this, as I say, is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services in Dublin 8. We are Ireland's only pop-up radio station, all positive and celebrating Mental Health Week here at St. Patrick's. Coming up this morning, comedian Jason Byrne is going to tell us how comedy isn't a laughing matter at all. Vogue Williams is also going to explain why her TV show about anxiety tonight on RT2 is her most personal programme yet. We're going to find out how the rhythm of life could rock your world. We're going to get energetic and dance for that. And also we'll chat about the pitfalls of parenting if you are a gay dad. If you want to get in touch, you can. You can go to the website and find out there how you get in contact with us. You can also tweet us too using the hashtag WIMSFM. Okay, so that's at Walking In My Shoes, the hashtag WIMSFM. We are with you, as I say, till 9 o'clock. This meantime is the man who was a bad boy, turned good. He's found religion. It's Justin Bieber.
What do you mean? What I'm saying, trying to catch the beat, make up your heart. Don't know if you're happy or complaining. Don't want for us to win, where do I start? First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. Wanna argue all day.
When I'm leaving, trying to compromise, but I can't win. You wanna make a point, but you keep preaching. You had me from the start, won't let this end. First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right. Wanna argue all day, make a love all night. First you're up, then you're down, and in between. Oh, I really wanna know, what do you mean? You're running out of time, what do you mean?
Oh, baby.
Oh, 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 what do you mean? Better make up your mind, what do you mean?
Mental Health Week. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm. Brighter there, you can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown, where all the lights are bright, downtown, waiting for you tonight, downtown, you're gonna be alright now, downtown, downtown.
That, of course, the wonderful, the indomitable Petula Clark in downtown. We're kind of uptown because we're on the outskirts. We're in James Street. We are broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. It is Trevor Keegan with you until 9 o'clock this morning, bringing you breakfast, serving you breakfast, and then Shayburn will be back in the seat again at nine this morning as well. Now, quick look at some of the newspapers. Yes, you guessed it. Budget is everywhere. Do you really want to know about it? You're not going to have that much more cash tomorrow than you did today, basically. £5 on welfare boost, fuel grant hike, Christmas bonus pay up, phone subsidies back, 50 cent in cigarettes. That's all you need to know. Okay, get rid of the budget there. On the papers as well, everywhere, all of them have the pictures of the Prince of Wales. That's what he's termed on the front of the Daily Mirror. He, of course, is James McLean. He's our super soccer hero because he scored the goal for last night's World Cup qualifier match against Wales in the 57th minute. He did good. It means that we go through to the playoffs. Don't ask me what that means. We just have to play more games and try and get there, basically. Is that right? Yes. Thumbs up from Rachel in the corner. Lovely pictures of him all around. Fans, of course, going mental because he won in Wales. And a lovely picture of as well on the front of the Daily Mirror of him sealing the deal with a kiss afterwards with his wife, Erin. So that's nice. Also in the Mirror this morning, very interesting story this. This is stars and their spies, okay? So this is celebrities from around the world who apparently have spy connections. Did you know this existed? I didn't either. This is the great thing. So first and foremost, Greta Garbo, right? She, of course, was a Swedish-born actress who played Mata Hari in 1931. She quit films in 1941, but her biographer, he claims that she had been gathering information for MI6 on her Swedish millionaire Axel Wiener Gren. Don't know why she was doing it, but apparently she was. Also, Frank Sinatra. Now, this is a rumor that had gone around for a long time, but according to his daughter, Tina, who's now 69, the Secret Service agency, the CIA, asked him to work as a courier. In 2000, she claimed in her memoir, My Father's Daughter, because he controlled his own air travel, the CIA would ask him and many others with that kind of capacity to be a courier. Don't know if he charged for it, but he don't know if he even if he did it, but apparently he did. Also, we have George Clooney. Now, he didn't know this. He may have spent years with cameras trained on him, according to the Mirror, but he co-founded the Satellite Sentinel Project, which is to spy on Sudan, where there was a dictator government and they were accused of genocide in Darfur. So he was involved in that. And one more, which is, this is kind of breaking in the news the last few days, Angelina Jolie, or Jolie, whichever way you want to pronounce it, she... documents leaked this week, according to this story. She once offered to act as a honey trap to snare African warlord Joseph Kony. And apparently she hatched a plot with the International Criminal Court's then chief prosecutor in which she was planning to lure him to dinner. I don't know if she was going to then kind of get him enticed to give secrets or reveal stuff or record things when he was talking over dinner. But apparently she has had no comment on the story so far. Also in the Mirror, there's a kind of sad story. It's George Michael. That story, of course, is sad itself. It's all about how basically he never really dealt with the death of his main love in his life, his partner who died of AIDS. And, of course, then within 5 years of that, the death of his mother. It's all revealed in an interview that he gave for a documentary which was being made when he died on Christmas Day, just gone. And all of that is going to be aired in George Michael Freedom, which airs on Channel 4 next Monday night at 9 o'clock. I think that's going to be both interesting and poignant, to say the least. And also today in the Daily Mail, this is a good one, it's... unfortunately, a story that you kind of are not surprised it's true. It's a senior Republican, and he has said he fears Donald Trump has set the US on the path to World War III. And this is the clinger, he has turned the White House into an adult daycare center because he says, this is Senator Bob Corker, he's chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He said the US president was treating his office like a reality show. That's not news to us. He also added, he says, I know for a fact that every single day at the White House, it's a situation of trying to contain him. Imagine working there. It must be horrific at the moment to work in that place. And also generally, just across all the papers, again, lots of happy pictures because of our win in the soccer last night. Yay for Ireland, boo for Wales. Sorry for Welsh listening. No offence meant. Actually, a little bit meant. Okay, it is Trevor Keegan until 9 o'clock this morning. We're Walking My Shoes Radio. We are bringing you positivity and indeed interesting facts and stories and comment on issues relating to Mental Health Week. We are here all this week, Monday to Friday. I'll give you a little synopsis of who's doing what and where across the station later on the programme. Meantime, we'll take some music.
We've got to start talking about mental health. It can get better. Log on to walkinmyshoes.ie to find out more.
It's 7:20 on Walk My Shoes Radio, and that is now You Know How to Love Me on The Breakfast Show with Trevor Keegan until 9 o'clock this morning. If you want to get in touch, you can via Twitter at Walk My Shoes, and also use the hashtag if you are doing so, hashtag WIMSFM. Now, as I say, it's just gone 7:20. We are joined this morning by Dr. Don Condoyeraj. I have to try and get that right. I keep getting different variations of it. Condoyeraj is a counselling psychologist, and he's here to talk to us about parenthood. Because parenthood is fractious and fraught at the best of times. But Con, you have done research into the whole area of gay dads, because obviously it's even more fractious and fraught when you're a gay man looking to become a father. Firstly, you chose this as a research topic, so why did you decide to do it?
Well, I suppose I'm a gay man myself, and I'm in my 30s, and I'm seeing a lot of my heterosexual friends and family having children, starting families. So I began to wonder whether this is something that I might want for myself, and wonder whether this would be possible and what that might be like. So for me, it seemed like, you know, they say a lot of research is me-search. You're kind of, you're researching because it's something about yourself.
You're putting a bit of you into that as well. Yeah, exactly.
Particularly in psychology, and particularly in qualitative research. So I would have, yeah, so the idea actually came from my supervisor, Dr. Mary Creener, and she would have suggested it, and I actually thought that it wasn't going to be possible, because I thought that there wouldn't be enough gay dads out there. But
well, what are the numbers like? I mean, are there many men who are forthright and put their hand up and say, listen, I do want to get involved, I do want to be a dad, and then they have to obviously investigate how to go about it. I mean, what are the numbers like?
There's no figures. There's no kind of body that captures the numbers.
So that in itself is kind of isolation for the person when they decide, I do want to become a dad, now what are my options?
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah, and that's the big problem. There's very few role models, or there haven't been. So the census doesn't ask questions about sexual orientation, but it does, I think they do have figures about children living with same-sex parents, or something. I think there's around 100 in the country.
So the family unit that's already there, but not necessarily then the kind of the people who want to be a family unit.
No, there's no information about that. Yeah, so it's very limited what we know about them. So this is why I was kind of like, I don't even know if they're there. But I got in contact with Glenn, the Gay Lesbian Equality Network, which are not existing anymore, but that's nothing to do with me. But they would have, my contact there, Oran Allen, would have said that he definitely felt that they were there, and that if they were there, they would definitely speak to me, because gay people tend to want to tell their stories because they used to be in silence.
So if you are a gay dad and you're in, do you have to, A, be in a relationship to look to adopt or do surrogacy, or can you go down that road on your own?
You could do it on your own, yeah, absolutely. I think most of the men, I had 12 men in my study, and most of them were in couples. So there's only one man chose to go through surrogacy on his own, and he naturally finds that quite difficult. And some of the men would be in co-parenting arrangements with lesbian couples. So I think all three of them were, two of them were single when they entered into that, and one was in a couple.
What is the legality around the whole area, or is there any defined law?
Well, in terms of surrogacy, well, we'll start with adoption. So adoption is fully legal.
Okay.
Since, I think, 2015, the Child and Family Relationships Bill came in, and that's been enacted since. So that's fine, but there aren't a lot of domestic adoptions in this country, so it's not the best option for a gay dad. In terms of surrogacy, there is no legislation whatsoever, whether you're heterosexual or gay.
So I know of a gay dad who has done the surrogacy with a lesbian couple. So in that instance, does the law recognise the mother biologically as being the only person who's going to have sole care and custody of the child? Or if he has, or he's used his sperm obviously to father that child, does he then have equal dad rights that you would have if you were in a family unit, a regular family unit, if you want to put it like that?
No, not necessarily. Well, he won't have equal rights, certainly. The mother always has more rights. And if he's not married to the mother, then he's far less rights. And if she then marries another man, he will have more rights than the biological.
And even if he was already involved in the child's life regularly, every day, and the person thinking of is involved every day, he still, so technically the stepdad would have more rights because he married into that relationship.
Yeah, I think that's the way our law works at the moment. It's a bit outdated.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is very outdated. Yeah. For the parents, obviously it's a difficult process when you become a gay dad. Then what about the children of gay parents? I mean, is there any correlation between them and discrimination against them?
Well, in terms of discrimination, a lot of studies have found, yeah, that it is something that exists and it is a problem. And there's still, despite all the research that shows that there are no issues with gay men being fathers, and in fact gay men are actually looking like they are the best parents according to most recent studies.
So they're debunking some of, because there are some myths out there about them, aren't there? What kind of myths would they have to try and overcome?
You know, that it would be harmful or destructive to a child to have two gay dads, that the children will grow up to be gay, that they're going to have an awful life just because of this, and that gay men are not good parents. So all of those are slowly being debunked, but kind of society is generally slower to catch
up. The whole campaign for the referendum, it was difficult, and it was, you know, it was a tough time for everybody, the yes and the no campaigns. But on the no side, they were putting out the kind of poster campaign, and they were putting out that issue, so, and putting it in inverted commas, that, you know, gay men don't make good dads, and there should be the mom and the dad, and that was the classic family unit, which, as we know, is long since gone by the wayside, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, and for some of the guys that I interviewed, their children would have been old enough to read and understand those posters. So even on their street, they'd walk up and down their own street, and they'd see posters, like, decrying their family as immoral, that there was something wrong with them, that they weren't going to be okay. So that was really difficult, really distressing.
For a little kid going to school in the morning, going, I'm not regular, I'm not normal, I'm not right. That's just wrong.
Yeah. So the problems, I suppose, that arise for these children arise not from the gay dads or their fathers, but from society not accepting them. So that's where the issue is.
And in terms of, if you are a gay dad and you're going down that road, what kind of, or are there any associations or groups or get-togethers where you can actually go and meet men in a similar situation and get a little bit of support and help and guidance?
Yeah. Well, there's very little. It's because it's such a small population at the moment. So there's really kind of, there's informal groups. There wouldn't be any kind of big body or anything like that looking after these people. But a lot of our guys would have found each other through kind of Facebook groups for LGBT parenting, which are almost totally dominated by lesbian women. But through that, they got in touch with other men, and there are, you know, kind of informal groups out there.
Okay, so it's limited, but there is, if you're a gay daddy looking to go down that road, there is some help and limited resources, but they are there. If you go looking, you find them.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fascinating research. And you've now gone to the next level. You're a doctor, you've done your doctorate and all now, so you're now Dr. Khan.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. Well done. Fantastic research in a very unique area. Nobody's done that before, have they, at all?
Certainly not in Ireland. No, there's been a little bit in the States, but yeah, very little.
Okay. Well done, you. And thanks for joining us this morning on the show. It is Trevor Keegan with Breakfast on Walk In My Shoes Radio. The time just coming up on 7:29.
to connect, inspire, eh. Up in all your high place, liars. Time is ticking for the empire. The truth they feed is feeble, as so many times before. The greed of all the people, they stumble and they fumble and we about to riot. They woke up the liars.
With the right support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01 249 3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
But in the meantime, when we're together, touching each other, and our bodies do what we feel, when we're dancing, smooth.
Welcome to My Shoes Radio. It's Trevor Keegan with you until 9 o'clock. Just gone 7.38. And that, of course, Phyllis Nelson and Moved Closer. And before Phyllis, we had Katy Perry, Chained to the Rhythm. Now, most of us, as we know, work with colleagues. We perform, we do our day's work, but we can have interaction with people. The only interaction our next guest has is usually when they're sitting there looking at him, expecting to be entertained. Jason Byrne, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How's the form?
Yeah, well, it's good. No now, problem, man. This is the kind of time I get up anyway. As people always say, as a comedian, they go, "Are you okay for getting up?" But we have a young house, so
yeah,
no problem.
You're kind of tick-tocking towards the school run, so I won't hold you up too long this morning. Basically, obviously, we're talking about mental health all this week here on the channel. Yeah. That's our existence and why we're here. You're the mental health of a comedian, because your job is solitary to a large degree, isn't it?
Yeah, and like my mental health is something that I like have delved into recently. Like, and I'm really deep into making sure that it's all okay. And because, like, I've been doing stand-up like 22 years, so that's like it's like, and the entertainment business is very tough as well. Do you
know what
I mean?
It's a fickle industry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and as a comedian as well, it's a skewed situation because you don't have a band with you. There's nobody else there to go, come okay, or come on, you know, that was a great gig, or get on stage.
If you miss a beat with a band, obviously they have your back.
Yeah.
But if you miss, you know, if you're setting up a punchline, if you kind of don't do as you're supposed to do and perform as to 100% of your best ability, you've nobody bar you just to fall back on.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not even exactly that. Like, the point. The point as well is the mood you're in when you get on, just before you get on stage. Because what you have to do is, no matter what's happened in the day or how bad you're feeling or how good you're feeling, you still have to do your job. You know, you have to get on and do it. And for me as well, I kind of, you know, like, I'm able to block out a lot of stuff, and if anything, like, it's not going well, and I can just get on stage. And the minute I'm on stage, though, I go into a different world. It's like a world of imagination almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's not reality. So off I go, you know.
How about the actual? Because obviously I've seen your gigs, and particularly you're one of those comedians that you really do put in 150% into performance,
yeah.
And it's madcap basically. And
yeah.
I'm wondering then, when you go off that stage, how do you deal with? There's obviously a down afterwards. There must be. You come down. You have to.
Well, there's not a down. I mean, look, like I'm on my British tour right now. I've been doing gigs and they've been going great. So there's no like. The down is not, oh my God, that was terrible. It's just the adrenaline goes up and down and up and down. And now adrenaline going in and out of your body that fast is not great for your head.
No, that's what I was thinking. It's not good for the old state of mind.
Yeah. But listen, I have my mind really well balanced. So what I do, Travis, what I do a lot is I do, for my head anyway, I do a lot of exercise. You know, so now the exercise I do, like, because people go, oh no, I'm not doing exercise because that's already putting me down, is all different types of exercise. Like, so for me, for a really quick burst, let's say if I'm not feeling great, I'll just put my runners on and I'll just run. I'll just go out the door and run, like, literally as fast as I can for, like, as short or as long as I want. Right?
I'd say you're a funny runner, but that's just...
Yeah, I'm not. I've been running all my life.
I just have this image of a gangly Jason,
yeah,
sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's very gangly, yeah. It's very kind of, gangle, you know. Yeah,
legs so akimbo, yeah.
Yeah, that image will cheer you up.
It's putting itself. The smile on our faces here, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I do the running and I'll do cycling and I'll do whatever's going on, you know what I mean? A walk, anything like that.
And that's a different hormone release, which is equally good.
Oh, man, I've got to say, yeah, when I'm not... whatever happens, whenever, let's say, you get bad news or whatever, anything like that, I'll go running and I'll come back and I don't really care what's happened. I literally don't care.
You're in the zone.
So I literally just go, that was brilliant.
What is the toughest, mentally speaking, what is the toughest challenge of comedy?
Stress, I'd say. Stress is very high. Because you've, especially with a comic like me who has to constantly come up with new stuff. So, like, you know, like, I have, so on my British tour, so all that audience were there last year. So that whole show has to be new again. Go to Australia, that whole show has to be new. I'm going around Ireland, and that whole show has to be new. Because in stand up, if they see something you've done before, they go, oh, yeah, I've heard you do that. It's not like a band,
yeah.
Where you go, where when a band do new stuff, you go, oh, I think I liked your old stuff.
Well, at least, yeah, and at least, you know, like, when I'm in my day-to-day work, people aren't paying to see me and talk to me and deal with me. Like,
yeah.
You know, people are paying good cash, they've got the babysitters in, they're out for the night, they want to be entertained, and they don't want you to let them down.
Exactly. And listen, there's another way I look at it as well. Before I go out on stage, I think, and I've had some amazing compliments from audience members, I think, right, Jason, this moment right now is your job just to keep these people happy and cheer them up, because they have come to see you, to cheer you. So that's your job right now. It's a little bit like, you know, like if a surgeon's going in to operate and he goes, I'm not really in the mood, I'm probably not going to operate fully. So you go, what? No. I know you've got to do this properly.
Yeah.
So I do it properly. And I've had people come to me afterwards going, oh my God, Jason, I really needed that laugh. I've had people, like, you've had people pass away, like people who are sick, people who had just recently got sick and they're at the gig. And that's the other thing with comedy is that, of course, people, if you know, it's another thing that it's good for mental health to go and see comedy, because because people say that when they go and see me or another comedian, or whatever, that's another bit of escapism from their life.
Well, it's a laughter. A laughter that you don't get day to day. Obviously, you might get, you know, a bit of crack, a bit of banter in the workplace or day to day with family members. But it's that kind of belly deep within laugh that you don't get often, and it is so good for you.
It's a release, yeah. And I can see, and people, they love this noise. They love the, oh, God. That's after, like, this constant laughing.
Is it difficult for you, though? Is there that expectation when you meet people, say, Jason Byrne at a night out in the pub or at a dinner party or something like that, is that always expectation that you have to be the joker of the pack and upbeat and peppy and just ready to entertain, even when you're not being paid to?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I was always a really nice, fun guy anyway before I did stand-up. So I was always quite an approachable character. So I haven't really lost that, you know what I mean?
You're a messer, generally.
I was a big messer.
Yeah,
you know? And
basically,
And would you believe comedy stopped me being a messer? Which is unbelievable.
I don't believe it, actually, but there you go.
I eased off on the messing. I mean, that's because I'm 45 now. I can't be running into a pub going, all right, lads, headlock. I mean, like, but listen, here's a good idea. Tommy Cooper, who's an old comic, he passed away a long time ago.
Yeah.
He was out and about. He was out and about with his mate in a pub, Eric Sykes it was, and he ordered a drink and the bar laughing at him. And Tommy Cooper went, what are you laughing at? And he goes, well, it's just because you're funny. He goes, well, all I've done is ordered a drink. What are you laughing at me for? And he got really upset about it. And Eric Sykes went, It's not his fault, you're just a funny man.
Yeah.
He's just laughing.
He was just funny to look at, generally. You were actually a bit like that, because you're funny physically.
Funny bones.
But your funny bones, yeah, exactly. Look at you on stage.
Yeah,
funny.
That's a good way to say it.
There's a physicality about it.
You have to look a little bit funny. There has to be something a bit odd about you.
There has to be, yes. There's a lot of odd about you, Jason, but we love it. Speaking of gigs, as you say, you're touring the UK at the moment. Tell us about, what's the situation, where are you currently at with Ireland's Got Talent?
Oh yeah, so they're taking in applications now for the auditions for TV3, and then we're going to start that around about November.
Okay.
And then I think it goes out and like on the live TV in about, I think, February, March is when it goes.
So you're kind of going to be having to ditch the comedy for a little bit next year.
Oh my God, but the other thing is as well, because I know entertainment in and out, like, and of course Louis does, but he's never been on stage. Okay, right?
Yeah.
And Elton is in it, and she has been on stage, and Michelle, you know, they've done stuff. But like, and for me, where I've been in Edinburgh, I've seen all different types of acts. I mean, I'm going to be a nightmare. I'm going to be letting all sorts of people through.
You're going to be hitting the buzzer, everybody.
Basically, the people who run it are going to go,
who's
let everybody through?
Who's in charge? Is it Louis? Is it Simon Cowell? Does he have the overriding?
I don't know. I'm assuming Louis's the head judge, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
But I think head judges only exist in X Factor, don't they?
You're the David Walliams to...
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
so
Louis.
The Dave Walliams. Yeah. I'm going to be looking for mad acts, like, you know, and all sorts of odd people. And, you know, the only problem is, if a granny comes out and sings, she's through. A child, they're through.
Oh, the heartstrings.
A dog, that's through.
Yeah, fair play. No, listen, it's going to be good TV, I have to say. Look forward to seeing it. Jason, the best of luck with the touring.
Yeah, and just one last thing. Yeah. Just say one thing I have found to help me a lot. Like when I, this is another major thing that I found, is that a chap called Alan Watts. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Right. Well, anybody who's in any kind of mental health situation at all, he is an amazing man to listen to. He's an old philosopher. He died in 1973, but you can listen to all his talks on YouTube. And he's called Alan Watts.
Alan Watts.
He's He's into Zen Buddhism and all sort of. And now, don't worry, he's into all religions, so nobody panic. And but he's just a very funny, lighthearted, amazing guy.
Brilliant.
Who delves deep into thought and helps you really well.
Now, I did not think we were going to get a mental health nugget from you this morning.
Oh, listen, he is my man. And here's the last thing he says. He says, Trevor, he goes, let's say he look at you and he say, Trevor, where is the center of the universe, Trevor? Where do you reckon it is? Where would you reckon it is?
Well, in my universe, Jason, it's me.
Exactly. And that's right. The center of the universe is everybody.
Yeah.
Where you're standing at that time.
We're all there revolving around ourselves. That's how
there
it works.
There you go, everyone.
Brilliant stuff.
It.
Listen, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. If you ever go to Jason Byrne gig, do not sit at the front row. That's all I'll say.
Well, actually, I'm going to start working from the back.
Oh, I'm going to stand at the exit. Good luck. Thanks, Bill. Jason, have a good day.
No problem.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay,
of course,
bye,
Jason
bye.
Byrne on Walk in My Shoes Radio.
Mental health. It can get better. Log on to walkinmyshoes.ie to find out more.
Gala came here for love. Hopefully you come here for information to Walk In My Shoes Radio, because that's where you'll get it all this week, Monday to Friday. I'm Trevor Keegan. I'm with you until 9 o'clock. Coming up after, we have Shea Byrne. And taking over breakfast tomorrow morning, because I ain't going to be here. Going to have a lie-in. Carina Grant and Rebecca Horn are going to be in the chair instead. Also, later on today, apparently, I didn't get to hear it, but there was mayhem and disaster and some very funny moments as well, courtesy of Laura Woods and Dustin the Turkey, and they are back again today. Can't wait. I'll have to tune in for that. Apparently they just, yeah, they ran riot. Well, Dustin did. Laura tried to rein him in. Doesn't work. So that's all coming up later on today here on Walk In My Shoes Radio. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so via Twitter. It's at Walk In My Shoes, and you can use the hashtag WIMSFM. Still to come this morning, hopefully, fingers crossed, Vogue Williams, our most personal TV programme yet, as she lays bare her anxiety issues. And also we'll be looking at how the rhythms of life can be harnessed for happiness.
In the ceiling, hey, ooh baby, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? So far from typical, but take my advice. Before you play with fire, do think twice. And if you get burned, well baby, don't you be surprised.
Mental Health Week. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.